Thank you so much for the opportunity for me to bring you the Word of God this morning. Our sister sat down to play this morning. And what was the name of that song that you first played?
This World Is Not My Home.
The first song that she sat down to play was This World Is Not My Home. That is the title of my message this morning. This world is not my home, if you can see that there. So I don't think there's any coincidences in God's work, okay? And I just thought, how funny that is that that happened. My name is Dan Swadley. I led music for many, many years and kind of always said I was glad the Lord didn't call me to pastor. And and God's got a sense of humor because when our pastor retired, then God just put his hand on my shoulder and said, for such a time as this. And I couldn't believe it and didn't know if I had the patience or not to be a pastor. And so I pastored for 8 years and felt like that that was what God had for me to do. And I work at KWFC Radio. If you've if you listen to the radio station outside of Springfield, I'm on every night, 7 to midnight, just filling in until they get somebody there. I teach for Drury, and I attend the Bass Chapel Baptist Church, where I teach a Sunday morning virtual Sunday school class. We have one meeting per week, and that's our Sunday morning service. So I am honored to just have a little part of God's work. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. I told Dennis, you know, I don't want to be put out to pasture yet, and so I treasure every opportunity to be able to speak from the Word of God. And so the title of my message, you might want to write down my points. I've got four of them. The title of my message is This World Is Not My Home. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you love us in spite of ourselves. God, I thank you for this church and these people. And I ask you, dear Lord, that you would open up and illuminate the Word of God to all of us, that the Holy Spirit would be here speaking to us. And Lord, that we would realize that this world is not our home. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just anoint your message, anoint your word, and open our ears to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take my text from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19, Matthew 6:19, and this is a challenge to all of us. I have under the title of my message here, don't get too cozy with this world. I used to sell, many, many years ago, I used to sell life insurance. And life insurance is one of those things that you buy and hope you don't need. Because your family only gets it when you pass away. And there are people that are living as if they are going to live forever. Now, I am going to live forever, and you're going to live forever somewhere, okay? But as far as these old bodies, they're not going to live forever. There's going to be a time that the body of Dan Swadley is laying 6 feet under. And so don't get too cozy with this world. Corrie Ten Boom, who wrote The Hiding Place, and she said, hold on to the things of life loosely. Don't hold on to them tight. I can't let go. And so Matthew 6 verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But, okay, so it tells us the don't do the thing first. And then in verse 20, it tells us what that we need to do. And here's what it says. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And then verse 21, is one of the verses that I think just stand out to all of us. And it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so, folks, I'm not the judge, but you can look at your life and you can see where your treasure is, where you put priorities, where you spend your time. You can look at that and you can say, there is where your treasure is. James 4:14 tells us, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." I wake up every morning and wonder what won't work, or what I'm going to feel ill about today. The body is decaying. It is getting older. It is not meant, this body is not meant to last forever. But praise the Lord, even though our life here is even a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow, we have another place that we're going to. So first of all, this world is not my home because we have pain and sickness. Because we have pain and sickness. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be like this forever. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Now, can you imagine this? I mean, I'm not sure my mind can comprehend that God, we're made in His likeness. Nobody has seen God. We don't know what God looks like. God is a spirit. But whatever God looks like, He Himself will wipe the tears from our eyes. "And there shall be no more death." Could I get an amen? Amen. I'm telling you what, I'm glad I am going to a place that when I see you there, we'll be able to be friends and brothers and sisters forever, forever, and there will be no more death. Amen. No undertakers, no funeral homes, no more death, neither sorrow. There's a lot of hurt in this world we're in today. A lot of hurt. I mean, a lot of people are hurting. A lot of folks are just struggling because of COVID and other reasons. My mom is in the Baptist home at Ozark, and up until a couple of weeks ago, they didn't have any COVID cases at all, and it was great because they could walk outside, and you know, they had to wear a mask and everything, but they could go outside and do things. And then they got one case, and then the next day it was 18, and the next day it was 24, and so they are confined to their room, and it's like prison. Solitary confinement, basically. But one of these days, there's not going to be any sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Could I get an amen? I'm telling you what, I am going to a land where I'm not going to have to take hydrocodone every time something hurts. I'm not going to be in that place because there's not going to be any crying, there's not going to be any sorrow, and praise the Lord, there's not going to be any more pain. And it says, "For the former things are passed away." This world is not my home because we have pain and sickness here. Jeremiah 31:13 says, "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow." He's going to turn our mourning, our sorrow, into joy. And let me just tell you this. One of my points here in a minute is about heaven, but let me just chase a rabbit. You know, I've figured out since I preach I can do that. You know, let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of things in heaven that's going to be wonderful, okay? Gates of pearl. That's going to be great. I've never seen a gate of pearl, so that'll be kind of neat. Streets of gold. That's going to be wonderful. that's I've never seen streets of gold here, so that'll be kind of neat. I've got loved ones, grandmas and grandpas that have gone on. I'll be able to see them again. But let me tell you, the star of heaven, the greatest thing of heaven will be Jesus. Just to see Him. I play a song on the radio that says that the saints of all the ages, their theme will be Jesus saves. And that's what we will rejoice. Isaiah 35:10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away, shall be gone." This world is not my home because we have pain and sickness here. And then this world is not my home because we have death here. We have death here. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, you got to listen to these words. Don't get lost in the verbiage, but it says, "So when this corruptible," that's this body right here that I live in, "so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal," that's me, "will put on immortality," that means I'm going to live forever, "and when that happens, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written," and I love this, "death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" So when I did folks' funerals when I was pastor at First Baptist Church Brookline, and that casket would sit there in front of me, and that body of that person that I loved was there, I could look up to heaven and I could say, "Death, where's your sting? Because I'm going to see that person again. There's a short time that I won't be able to see them, but the Lord has promised that I will be able to see them again one of these days." That goes on to say, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm glad He gives us the victory over eternal death. I do not have eternal death beating in my body this morning. I have eternal life. And one of these days, I retired as from being a teacher. I was a teacher for a number of years, and every April, May, something like that, we would go to commencement, graduation, and these kids would get up and say what they're going to do and what they're going to be and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, you don't have a clue, you know. But it was a graduation ceremony from the way that they were to their adult life. And one of these days, this body, this soul of me, is going to graduate. I'm going to go to some place I've never been before. It'll be wonderful. The Lord has promised me it'll be wonderful. Have you ever thought about heaven is a place that's called home, but you've never been there? You know, most places that you call home, it's a place you go for security, and a place you go that's your kingdom, and a place that you go, and it's just wonderful to be there. That's what you think of as home. Heaven's going to be a home, but you've never been there. The world is not my home because we have pain and sickness, and because we have death. And then the world is not my home because we have an enemy. We have an enemy. You have an enemy that is only interested in deceiving and ultimately trying to destroy you. First of all, he wants your soul. Now, if you're not here, if you're here this morning, or you're listening on YouTube, or you're listening in a parking lot, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, he has you right where he wants you. And we give invitations. I didn't ask you. I assume that we do that. Okay. Most churches, when I go, we have invitations. I know some people don't. But we give invitations to people who can allow the Lord to come into their heart and change that. But the enemy's got you right where he wants you if you're not a Christian. He wants your soul, first of all. But Okay, but if you have given your heart and soul to Christ, He will settle for having your testimony. He would love to ruin your testimony. He would love to deceive you and put you in compromising situations that will destroy your testimony. You see, He will try to get your family. He will try to get your contentment. Don't we live in a world today of discontentment? I could watch TV for a while and not even know I was hungry for pizza until all these pizza ads come on. And then suddenly I get discontent with my ham and beans that I had for supper. I want a pizza. And that's what Satan does for us. He shows us what we have out here and he says, doesn't that look good? When actually everything we need, we find in Christ. Yes, he wants to deceive you. He wants your time and attention. The number one reason, a survey here a while back said, the number one reason why people don't spend time in prayer and devotion with the Lord, and I'm talking a dedicated time of prayer and devotion with the Lord, is they're too busy. That's probably one of the things. Back in March and April, we had to stay home because of COVID. We had to stay home. Hey, it was kind of neat. I found my wife, she's a really nice lady. and I found I had time for the things I didn't know I had time for. So Satan, our enemy, he'll be really glad if he can take your time and attention away from something else. He will gladly help you become more worldly. Too many times, the world out there has come in the church instead of the church going out into the world. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity or being an enemy with God? Whosoever therefore, and I didn't say this, don't shoot the messenger. I mean, this is a one-time shot for me. So just you go to the Word and see if I'm right here. But the Word says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And, the church I pastored, I mean, people had to see the latest movie. They had to see the latest media. They had to go on Facebook and do all this thing. And all that's okay in its right context. But, folks, I don't want to get too cozy with the world. Because the world, being a friend of the world, is being an enemy with God. Matthew 13:37 says, and he answered and said unto him, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the Word, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. You see, you need to be responsible for your own Christian walk. Now, I am confident as neat and a wonderful just being here this morning of a church that you are, that God's got somebody in store for you to pastor. And I'm excited to hear in the coming days who that is. But let me tell you, you need to take what he says and take it to the Word and see if he's telling you the truth. Because we can make mistakes. I wouldn't deceive anybody intentionally. But sometimes, don't tell my wife, I'm wrong. And we see that the devil really wants us to be deceived. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to, and listen to this, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm telling you, my heart breaks. My heart breaks for our young families, our youth, our the millennial generation, because by and large, they have been seduced into believing a lie. And it's, oh, it just breaks my heart. I have kinfolks that have left the faith, made the statement, I used to be a Christian. And let me tell you, we have seducing spirits in this world today. And you probably know of folks in your family or who you rub shoulders with that have absolutely been seduced by the devil. James 4:7, I love this. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now, most people have a hard time submitting. I'm sure that Elkton Baptist Church probably doesn't have, but most people have a hard time submitting. Submitting to law enforcement, you know, driving the speed limit. Dennis, when I was talking to him on Thursday night, I said, it'll take me about 30 minutes to get there. And he thought he heard that, and then he texted me back, and he said, well, when he was looking at Google Maps, that it really showed about an hour. And I said, you hadn't seen how the way I drive. Come to find out, it did take me an hour. But you know what? I don't like to submit. I don't like to submit. I mean, I want to do things my way. Anybody else relate with that? But the Bible here says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Okay? So that means I need to do what the Word says. Don't gossip, don't lie, forgive. You know, I need to try to do what the Word says. And then I think one of the greatest parts of this verse says, resist the devil. And based on the Word of God, because that's what everything is based on the Word of God, the promise is resist the devil and he will flee from you. Could I hear a praise the Lord? Now, unfortunately, that doesn't mean forever. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, the devil left him after Jesus went through that, but he didn't leave him forever. So you and I are challenged to continue to submit to the Lord. Okay, that's our part. Submit whatever he says. It's not always easy. Don't tell me it is. We submit to the Lord and we resist the devil. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Did you know if you make your mind up to resist and say, nope, I'm not going to do what God says. I'm not going to give my life and my heart to Him. Did you know you'll go to a place called hell? And did you know that that's not made for human beings? Hell was never intended for human beings. It was made for the devil and his angels, and you will be an intruder from the day you step into hell. Don't do that. That's not what you want to do. That's not what God would have us to do. And we see that the devil's end is ahead, and it's a place called hell. And he knows that, and that's why he's trying to deceive you and I. That's why he's trying to steal our testimonies. He's trying to steal our joy. He's trying to steal our family. He's trying to steal our churches. And we need to submit to God and resist him. The world is not my home because we have pain and sickness. This world is not my home because we have death. This world is not my home because I have an enemy. And this world is not my home because we have a better place. We have a better place. John 14:1-4 is a passage that I've read at many funerals of believers. And here's what it says. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Okay, so that means, okay, just don't, you know, get all upset. Don't get fearful. And you know, I believe in this time of COVID, okay, I don't think we need to be fearful, because I know who's in charge. Okay, we need to, you know, we need to take precautions, do what we can do, and everything like that. But I'll tell you what, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so we need to just say, Lord, I don't want my heart to be troubled. Your word tells him that. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And that way is through Jesus. If you hear somebody on TV or radio or read in a magazine that there's more than one way to get to Jesus, more than one way to get to heaven, you just say, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Jesus is the only way. Revelation 7:17 says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. I'm glad the Lord talks about feeding. I've lost about 40 pounds since June, and I've really been trying to work at it. And my wife and I, we stop eating about 3 or 4 o'clock or something like that. And by 10 o'clock, I mean, I could eat my right arm. But the Lord's going to feed us, do you hear? He's going to feed us and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 22 verses 4 and 5 says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I've been going through a little Bible study that talks about God in eternity past. God's always been. I'm not sure my mind can comprehend that, because everything in my life has had a beginning and an end. But God had no beginning, and God has no end. And as far as God is out there, one of these days, Dan Swadley's going to be with him, living forever. I'm not just sure that my little mind can grasp that, but I'll take God's word for it. And we're not going to need any light, because Jesus will be the light of the world. So we see this world is not my home, because we have pain and we have sickness. This world is not my home, because we have death. This world is not my home, because we have an enemy. And this world is not my home, because I'm going to a better place. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that you brought to all of us, and how comforting and wonderful it is. And so, Lord, I just pray if somebody, dear Lord, needs to make a decision, that God, this would be the Sunday, this November the 1st, 2020, this would be the Sunday that would change all their eternity. And God, we thank you for being here this morning. We pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.